Okay, so we're talking about the ransomware attack again. And one thing that I've really been interested in is, how likely is it that the city knew the hackers had personal data from the start of the attack?
Well, whenever there's a cyber attack, it's sort of a fog of war situation. You may have an indicator that your networks have been breached. Maybe somebody tells you, and then you're trying to scramble to figure out what needs to be done. And so it's entirely plausible that the city found out that they were hacked, took precautions to take systems offline, and felt like most likely they got ahead of the problem. It sounds like we now know they didn't, because this personal information has been posted. It's really hard to know if someone has accessed your data or not. And so it's pretty common to only figure out later on that someone gained access to your data before. So we shouldn't be surprised there. There are some surprises, though, in that, you know, typically the way ransomware works is the criminals get your data and then they try to tell you they have it. And so here there seems to have been some kind of communication breakdown. So either the criminals were unable to find someone at the city to tell them that they had their data and wanted money, or maybe they only did that after the city had already taken precautions and so they thought they were safe. So, but in the end, the data's out there, so it turns out we have a fairly serious situation in front of us.
Yeah, and so you're taking the generous view of the of the release of the data that they didn't know, or it's confusing. There's a lot of parts to it. So it's on the dark web, which I have a faint understanding of what that is, but for people who stay on the quote clear web, I guess, can you explain those terms?
Sure. Well, the dark web is a kind of a term for places where cyber criminals tend to congregate, and they will do it in a way that is somewhat hidden from view. And so it could be using something called a Tor hidden service, which enables only anonymous access to this information. But it could also just be that this is a website that is protected, it's password protected. You have to like know to be vetted to get into that forum. But what's really going on is cyber criminals are stealing data all the time, and they have to communicate, and they communicate over the internet, and they communicate on these dark web forums. And they, if you've acquired some personal data, your first step might be to go to the victim and try to sell that data. But if that doesn't work, you go to the dark web and try to sell it to somebody else and monetize it that way. And so this is sort of a bazaar where buyers and sellers of stolen data meet.
So what? So you said that they try to sell your data back to you. Is that what they do with it?
Oh, no. The sale is between criminals, right? So what you have is, so they say one criminal has managed to obtain access to personal information of, say, citizens of Tulsa. They will then sell that to other criminals who can then try to monetize it themselves. So some people specialize on the dark web in obtaining compromised information, while other people specialize in taking personal information and then making money off of it. So if you're an identity thief, you might want to buy a big database of stolen personal records that you can then use to take out new credit applications or make money in some other way. And so you're willing to pay in order to gain access to that data.
Right. But so it depends on the kind of information that's
Absolutely.
Out there on what they're going to do with it, right?
Exactly. And so, you know, Social Security numbers are highly valuable. Because if you have Social Security numbers complete and a name and date of birth, then it's very straightforward to do identity theft, because you can take out mortgages and all kinds of things in people's names. If you only have the name and date of birth, it's a little harder. It's still valuable, but maybe a little less so. And so If you have credit card numbers, those fetch a different price. So the value of the information depends upon how easily it can be monetized.
Right. Okay. So just how would a name and date of birth be valuable?
So there are a few ways. I mean, it's definitely less valuable than when you have the Social Security number, but...
Stuff you can get on Facebook, you know? You could get that on Facebook.
Right? Well, I mean, I certainly don't share my birth date on Facebook.
Okay.
So each additional piece of information adds value. Just knowing your name, not super useful. Name and date of birth is a bit more valuable because then it's sometimes used to confirm your identity. But name, date of birth, and home address is also even more valuable because you have more pieces of information that corroborate themselves, which make it easier to, say, reset an online account you have at your bank, so reset that password, or impersonate someone. So, like, if you know that this person has a bank account or a credit card account, you could now interact with that service and say, pretend to be that person and reset the account. And they will ask for things like your date of birth and verifying your home address. And so it's useful for schemes like that.
Okay, that's scary. So let's say where someone, they have police reports are out there. So that has a lot of information. Let's say I'm someone, a Tulsan, who recently filed a police report, or I guess it would be since May or before. Mm-hmm. What would I look out for? What do I really need to know?
So I think, you know, what you should do essentially is, you know, be on the lookout for email notifications that's, you know, saying we've reset your password, or here is the link to reset your password. You know, whenever you forget information on an online service, you go through that process, and there's typically an email will be sent to the account of record. So you'll want to, if that starts happening, that's something you should take note of and contact the service provider by phone to make sure that nothing's untoward. The other thing to consider is freezing your credit. So that's a bit more onerous. It doesn't cost anything anymore, but it can be useful to prevent identity theft because, you know, for instance, my credit is frozen. So even though people might know my name and social security number on the dark web, they're not going to be able to open fraudulent accounts in my name. And so it's some people should consider going to one of the three credit bureaus, Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian, and requesting a freeze. You can also place a security alert, which is a little easier to do and allows you to still open new credit, but it's not quite as strong of a protection as freezing the credit itself.
Yeah, but probably not everybody needs to do this, just people who have, I don't know.
I mean, generally speaking, I think it's good practice. I mean, I don't believe my information is contained in a police report recently, but, you know, my credit is frozen, and so it certainly makes it harder for people to carry out attacks. And I think if you have the time and means, it's something that's worth doing.
Well, they might have more files too, right? Is that a possibility?
Absolutely. I mean, the challenge is it's impossible to know when a criminal actor has gained access to personal information, because they've done is been able to read the data. It's still there. It doesn't go away. And so you see your data, everything looks fine. It's really impossible to determine whether or not someone has gained read access to that data who shouldn't have. We found out here because companies and organizations monitor the dark web, and so the criminals decided they were going to offer this information for sale. And so the only information that's been observed on the dark web for sale for City of Tulsa residents has been related to police reports. But we don't know if there are more data out there that could be released at a later date.
Right. I mean,
well, I don't want to speculate too much, but they could even like send another note and be like, well, we did it. Now we might do more. I don't, I mean, that seems like effective ransoming.
Yeah, of course. So, I mean, it is not uncommon to see repeat ransom attempts on the same victims. And this happens whether or not you pay, actually. So, and often sometimes when the victims do pay, then the criminals come back for more and say, well, actually you need to keep paying or we're going to release this other data. So, it's not a good situation to be in.
No.
So people are a bit complacent, and I myself am a bit complacent about data sharing because we hear about it all the time. Like Facebook is doing it. People still use Facebook. How is this different?
Well, what's different is that Facebook is a U.S. company that is a steward of your data and only uses it in a way that is authorized by you, right? And so, sure, Facebook knows your personal information, and they might use it to show you different advertisements. But Facebook employees are not going to take your data and commit identity theft. So the difference is when your data gets in the hand of cyber criminals, it's more likely to be monetized for some nefarious end that will cause you harm.
Okay.
And what can you tell us about this? So they're saying that it's Conti. Is there anything particular or special? First of all, is this a group or is it a software? That's been something that I've been trying to figure out.
So these names change all the time, right? Okay. So new groups appear. We know that DarkSide was the name of the organization behind the Colonial ransomware. They got a lot of bad press, so now they have a different name. It's not Conti, but you know, these names are always evolving. I don't put too much stock in tracking one name or the other.
Okay.
Sometimes the names are actually chosen for convenience by the security companies who are tracking them. We don't know much about this group, except that, you know, it's yet another group that's trying to conduct ransomware attacks and make money where they can. So they first go to the victim. If the victim won't pay up, then they find other ways to make money, like selling it.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, I guess that's the last question.
So how can we, I think we covered this last time, but always good to wrap up. How mm-hmm. can we stop this? Normal people, you know, mm-hmm. Me and you or people listening to this, what can we do to help?
So, I think the most actionable thing you can do is to, you know, take a look at your own security hygiene, right? Consider, make sure that you have strong passwords, consider a password manager, and especially for this particular threat, consider freezing your credit. Go to the credit bureaus, and the nice thing about that is, you know, we never know when someone's going to pick and try to file a credit report in your name or try to get new credit in your name. But once the credit is frozen, then you have nothing to worry about. It's only when you sort of decide you need to apply for new credit, you take the control. You unfreeze the credit and apply for the credit. So it's the single best way to really deter identity theft, because we really cannot control the release of our personal information. You know, our personal information is in the hands of many third parties, and they're doing their best to protect the data, but it's inevitable that it's going to get breached. All you can do is be resilient to and respond and protect yourself accordingly.
Okay. All right, then.
Sorry about my computer.
No, that's okay. You're...